keeps asking, are rates ever going to help buyers?
Actually, yes. I'm Maren Borsheim.
And I'm Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Our mortgage rate relief program may lower your mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That can make a big difference in monthly payments.
If you're buying your primary home, you may qualify.
Funds are limited, so call us today or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Let's get you into your home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Once a week, a son calls his father.
Hi, Dad.
Just to check in. It's not a long call, 10 minutes maybe, but it matters. When people start to feel forgotten, a call or visit can remind them they're not alone.
They're not alone.
A few minutes of kindness can change the course of a day, sometimes a life. And when someone's going through a hard time, storing a firearm safely, even for a few days, can give them the space to heal. If you or someone you love is struggling, call or text 988. Help is here, day or night. Always free, always confidential. Call or text 988, 24 hours a day. Wyoming takes care of its own. Always has, always will. A message from Wyoming Health Fairs with support from the McMurray Foundation, Natrona Collective Health Trust, and the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, working together to make sure no Wyoming neighbor faces their darkest moments alone.
The Sheridan Wild Rodeo Guide is in the center section of this week's Country Bounty. Pull out those four pages and let it be your guide to all of the wild rodeo activities. You'll find a schedule of events, places to eat during the week, a list of great sponsors for the SheridanMedia.com live stream. Check it out, center section, this week's Country Bounty, so you can be ready for another fun-filled Sheridan Wild Rodeo event. And special thanks to Sheridan Travel and Tourism and the Sheridan Wild Rodeo Board.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
Give the gift of security to someone you love. LifeLink Sheridan County provides alert systems that work 24/7 from home or on the go. And we're managed and operated right here in Sheridan. No long-term contract or cancellation fee. For more information, we're just a phone call away. LifeLink Sheridan County, 307-751-9348.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, July 6th. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we're joined by Hub on Smith Daybreak Adult Services Program Coordinator Anna Gale and Director of Operations Nick Little. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Now, just to get to know you a little bit, Nick, I'll start with you. How long have you been at the Hub?
Look, I'm brand new pretty much. I mean, we're going on about 6 months now. This month will be six.
And what inspired you to work there? How did you get down there?
Look, I think, you know, when this position opened up, I think being able to be a part of an organization that's A, been in the community for a long time, and B, plays such a significant role in seniors' lives.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it was the motivation I needed. I think, you know, I've seen over the years the impact it's had, even in people I know, their families, our family. I've seen the impact of the Hub.
And you wanted to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anna, how about you?
Yeah, I started about a week after Nick did. So we're all this.
A team, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, back before COVID, I was an activities director at the greenhouse. And that kind of shifted. A lot of things changed,
yeah.
Right? And so I was pretty sad to have that experience and to leave like that. And so when the position came open, my heart is just invested. I love being part of the organization that has such a great culture, and then be part of the community that supports our elders. So I absolutely love it.
And the Hub really is. I mean, when they rebranded to the Hub, I thought, what a fantastic name. Because they also started to include, you know, they didn't want it just to be seniors. It's the hub of the community. From this comes a lot of spokes that goes out. It just keeps the whole thing moving smoothly as a community.
Yeah, I mean, the hub's a central location for so many different services that we provide. I mean, and information to the public and information to our seniors, you know, from, you know, understanding technology of computers to taxes to resources for healthcare, all these different access points for information come right out of the hub. You know, I mean, if you want to see the hub in its prime and all its glory, you got to come on a Tuesday or a Friday when it's bingo.
I heard about bingo, yeah.
But you got to get there early. Make sure that seat doesn't belong to somebody else, you know. But I mean, that gives you an idea of what it was. When I came to interview, it was a bingo day. And I thought it was really impactful to see that.
Yeah.
Just because it made me wonder, where do these individuals go if this isn't here? What are they doing? Where's the place they get to gather and have that sense of belonging and social interaction? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was really impactful to see that. So, I mean, I say it in jest, but also in seriousness. You know, a bingo day is a good idea to see how the hub functions and why it's so important.
And I imagine there's so many relationships and, you know, that really find themselves during things like bingo. You know, Dolores is interested in bingo.
Oh,
Maddie's
man.
Interested in bingo. They might not see each other outside of that, but boy, during bingo.
Yeah, we're meeting up. I mean, even you can come in any day of the week and there might be a group of people. Like we have a table that might be reserved for, we have a table that's reserved for a group of guys that come in and have coffee a couple days a week, you know. Table's over there. It's got the reserved on it. We got a big old thing of coffee over there because they're going to drink about 10 cups apiece.
Yeah.
You know, and they sit over there and they catch up and they just chit chat every day. It's a group, you know.
Coffee was the internet before the internet.
Right. I mean, right.
I can remember as a kid.
It's going a to social hub, right?
Yeah. And boy, that's how all the farmers and the ranchers in the area caught up. They went down to this place called the Golden Spur and everyone would sit around and have coffee. And I sat up at the little counter. And the guy who owned the place would give, you know, all the kids soda while we waited on our dads to get the news.
That's funny. You say the Golden Spur. My dad used to get together with his friends at the Silver Spur, you know,
yeah,
downtown.
Lots of Spurs.
Right.
Lots of Spurs. Now, when we look at Daybreak Adult Services, what is it for those who don't know what this is? And how does it fit within the hub itself?
Yeah, well, the building itself, sometimes people would call and say, where are you guys? I don't even know where you're located. So we are right behind the hub. You know, we have like, what is it, driveway or something like that, that you kind of go through where you can park, the big parking lot. But we are just a little bit of separation from, we're part of the hub, but the building itself, we're not. I think used to, that's what it was. It was at the hub and the building was built a few years ago. And so... we are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we are just, I mean, we're alive. There's so many things going on at the Daybreak. From, you know, morning routines to coffees to snacks to puzzles to trivia to just entertaining, not in so much like a TV watching kind of sense, but very much. We get to know our elders on that personal level. And so our activities are based around that, what they like to do, what they enjoy. But we do have a calendar, monthly calendar. We have, you know, music these days. We have, like Nick said, bingos is very important. We can't get rid of that because I would be in a doghouse if that's removed. But arts and I mean, really anything to, you know, puzzles to... you name it, whatever they, you know, popsicles in the park or whatever. We just enjoy pretty much every day, Monday through Friday. There's always something going on and the energy is amazing.
And what is the program itself?
So it is a social model. So we're not a medical model where it is itself is a activities, you know, independence of our elders. And also involvement in the community as well.
Yeah, it's really about, it's really a location. So when we talk about a social model, you know, we're really talking about, you know, kind of, it kind of feeds off what the hub is in general. You know, it's an opportunity for individuals to have a sense of belonging, a place to go, a place to interact, a place to, I think it's really that sense of belonging. And I mean, and we could get into other things, the way that it provides some respite for caregivers, and the ability for them to know they have a place where they can put the people they care about for the day that are having a complete, you know, a complete day engaging with other individuals and engaging in activities that give them a quality of life that is necessary for them and helps them remain independent. So, I mean, it's really just about the social engagement part.
Yeah.
You know, the ability to really engage with others in,
and stay active.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you come down, it's just such a laid back place to be able to hang out and to do different things. You know, I can come in and they can be playing chair horseshoes. They can be doing some arts and craft stuff around the table. You know, she talks about the mornings where, you know, who gets coffee, who gets tea, you know, snacks. They swing over at lunch and go eat lunch over at the hub in the cafeteria together. You know, so I mean, it's,
we bust the dance moves okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
cut a rug now and then, right?
Right. So, but we do keep a CNA on staff because we do have some individuals who need a little bit of assistance with some things.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's usually two or three people on staff to make sure that we have enough individuals there to provide the attention that's necessary, but also not micromanaging them. You know, they really lead the process. When we do an intake, part of that intake is questions about who they are, what they enjoy, what they like, mm-hmm. what are their goals, why they're here, what do they want to see, what do they want to do? And we really function around that so yeah. that it's really a customized, yeah, and family's too. Expectations. Of course, mm-hmm. of course. Very good point, you know. And we customize that to try and make it fit. Now, you get independent personalities in there, you yes. know, so you yeah. you work chemistry and you know who bickers and you know who gets along well, but
because there's always a couple in there, right?
Well, and look, everybody's individual. They all got their unique personalities.
So. Yeah. Now, what are the duties of the director of operations?
Well, it, you know, in terms of my position as director of operations, I'm overseeing our programs to ensure they function efficiently and effectively. You know, additionally, it's important to not just look at the technical aspects of those things, but working on the cultural aspect as well of leadership when you're working in this position and trying to create an environment where people want to be and where they want to work.
Yeah.
Collaboration, working as a team, those kinds of things, and understanding the vision and the goals and the mission of the organization. So operations is exactly how it sounds. It's making sure our programs are operating effectively.
Have you come across a program where you're like, you know what, this one's just not ticking or it's not connecting with somebody, let's get rid of it? Or have you not reached that point yet where you feel comfortable doing that?
No, I think, you know, a lot of this is anytime you start anywhere, there's a bit of a fire hose effect, right? You're just taking in information. I think, you know, and I think that Anna can relate to this as well. We're finally getting to a point where we've been here enough, we're starting to establish ourselves a little bit. And now that we have the information, we can really start thinking, I think, strategically. Mm. You know, when you first start things, there's a lot of, you know, you're moving quick, you're making quick decisions, you got a lot of information coming in. Now those pieces are starting to settle and come together. And so in terms of that, no, I mean, not yet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, That's a difficult part of operations is sometimes things don't work and you have to make difficult decisions. But, you know, at this point, I've not experienced that yet.
Anna, what are the duties of a Daybreak Adult Services Program coordinator?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of different hats that, you know, Nick can probably agree with me on this that I wear. Some days are going to be completely different. Some Mondays are completely different than others. And so it just depends what, you know, what that day brings. Anything from, you know, making coffee, organizing, just a social aspect of it. What are we doing? Like I said, the monthly schedule is already out there.
Daily agendas, right? Day-to-day stuff.
Organizing in volunteers as well. So how many volunteers do we have this week? Who is coming in to help with what? Is there something that we need to, you know, adjust into the daily activity based on who the people are that we have? Coaching CNAs in the moment, you know, there's sometimes CNAs who have worked maybe different locations, different nursing homes. We are not a nursing home. So if they have maybe a different approach to what Daybreak is all about, really yeah. adjusting that and tailoring to our elders and our clients. So, anything from gathering bingo cards, right? Going back to bingo to, you know, supplying some art projects and things like that, where it could be anything really.
Right. And don't forget the technical aspects of it, you know, the admin duties where you're scheduling now that, our enrollment has doubled over the past 4 to 5 months here. Then it's scheduling.
It's making
sure we've got the right ratio of employees. It's a 1-to-6 ratio. So, you know, if you hit that 14 mark, you've got to make sure you've got 3 staff on board. We do provide some limited CNA services. So if you have somebody who, you know, needs a shower or something like that, we have those facilities there.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, so we can assist in those things. You know, the other thing that people may not know is that we offer transportation. You know, we operate Goose Creek Transportation that from here in town. So we utilize on-demand transportation to help get some of our folks to and from.
So if I can't get mom to Daybreak, Daybreak will come to mom, pick her up, and drive her out there. Mm-hmm. See, that's really amazing.
Well, yeah, transportation's immensely important.
Yeah, and it could, you know, be a huge part of your day when you're sitting around planning, okay, I got to get mom to Daybreak. I got to do this. I got to do that. And that could be a big part of your day.
Right.
Having Goose Creek show up to the house.
And organizing that. There's times where family, something happens, right? I mean, at home or, you know, they would call, hey, Anna, I need your help organizing, you know, this for this week. We're out of town or there's, you know, vacation or something came up that they didn't plan for.
There's always, I always kind of learn a little bit more every time I talk with someone about Daybreak and the services that are provided. And the versatility of it, I think, is something that a lot of people don't understand. That, you know, kind of like, hey, if there's a shower required, they got it covered.
Yes.
If you're going to need mom or dad picked up, they got it covered.
Yeah.
On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with the Hub on Smith right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. And 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation donor advised fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Shared Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugar Land Drive. Open 7 days a week or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors. If you're looking for a good, honest, pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see what we've got on the lot. Pickups, SUVs, and cars that are ready for Wyoming roads and Wyoming weather. No run around, just solid vehicles at fair prices. Whether it's for work, ranch, or just getting around town, we'll help you find the right ride. Primerate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stopped China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down, and neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.
Some people golf, some people garden. You fish your bass off. Yep, it's that time of year again. And Mead Lumber and Camco Federal Credit Union want your photos. Fish your bass off and submit your photos for a chance to reel in $600 in prizes. Big fish, accidental stick catches, we want to see them all. Cast your line and post your pics on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com through Labor Day. Fish your bass off from Mead Lumber and Camco Federal Credit Union.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're sitting with Hubbon Smith Daybreak Adult Services Program Coordinator Anna Gale and Director of Operations Nick Little. Now, we've talked about what a typical day looks like for someone participating in Daybreak. We've touched on some of the activities that a lot of participants enjoy the most. Bingo, obviously. Everyone loves bingo. And, you know, here's something that I would say to the folks out there who are thinking, well, what is it about this bingo? I would say go down there. Try it out. It doesn't have to be Daybreak members or older members of our community. You could be anyone.
Oh, correct. It's open to the community, without a doubt. That place gets stacked.
And I think it would be so fun to just go in there and not just learn the game if you don't know it, but learn the people if you don't know them.
Well, and we've got a guy in there. Ryan Legler is one of our kitchen staff and front office staff, and he's just phenomenal. Great guy, great sense of humor, connects great with everybody there. I mean, he makes it so much fun to be a part of.
Definitely is noticeable when he's not there and somebody else calls bingo. Yeah.
Oh, where's Ryan? Is he? Yeah.
And I love that. Everyone falls in love with someone specifically doing a particular job. And that really shows the connection that staff and volunteers have with the participants of Daybreak.
Well, our staff are so mission driven. You know, they're there because they care about it. They care about the people who are coming in. You know, I talk about Ryan Legler, but I mean, I could go on and on about everybody at the hub and the work that they do. Our kitchen staff is phenomenal. They do great work, you know, under circumstances that make you have to be extremely, there's a lot of food guidelines you have to follow. Managing food budget in a fluctuating, you know, market you know, and keeping those things and still trying to provide quality, nutritious meals. I mean, they're like, they operate so well, you don't even notice sometimes that they're there because things are so smooth, you know. But I mean, I can stretch that into anything, any of our programs, our help at home program. We can talk about our departments. We can talk about finance and HR and our activities coordinator and all the volunteers that are there. I mean, you've got such a great group of humans that come together to try and make sure that our seniors are well taken care of.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's talk about the respite part of this. A lot of caregivers out there taking care of their, and it doesn't even matter. Maybe it's their parents. Maybe it's their uncle. Maybe it's their grandparents.
Sure.
Someone's stepping in. Or maybe even they're not family. They're just friends doing this. Respite for them seems like maybe a pipe dream. Mm-hmm. You know, boy, I wish I could just get that taken care of, or I just need a day. How important is respite to caregivers from what you've seen?
Oh, absolutely. It's huge. I mean, we have, you know, some families, they would have their family member with us at the daybreak for just maybe one day a week, just to run errands, just to make those appointments, just to take care of themselves. And I think sometimes, you know, and I'm pretty new to daybreak, but I think sometimes what I've noticed in a short period of time is the families kind of wait too long.
Yeah.
They're burnt out, they're exhausted, and then they reach out. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I just need a day.
Yeah. Daybreak okay can really be a daybreak can be a proactive measure, you know.
Absolutely. It's like there's always, I mean, all of us, I mean, we're willing to help where whatever that family needs. And I think don't wait until you're, you know,
at the end of your road,
destitute. Yeah,
absolutely,
you know.
Yeah. And I imagine I'd probably end up being one of those people. That's, I think, a lesson for a lot of us, is that it's okay to say, you know what, I just need a day. Yeah. I want to get caught up on things. Maybe it's laundry.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something real simple at the house. Yeah. But daybreak is there to meet that need and meet it in great ways.
Well, in daybreak, and the thing is we've come to a point now where, you know, we, you know, in that 8 to 4 range, you know, we schedule in 4-hour increments. You know, there is a minimum number of hours. We do request that we have a total of at least 8 hours during a week. And we do that just to ensure that we can make sure we can keep the staffing that's mm-hmm. necessary to schedule and do those things. So, you know, I'd say for people who are interested, and if you're interested in learning more, you can just drop in, and talk to Anna, you know, and, you know, some of our other healthcare providers, you know, talk to us, you know, we have Medicaid referrals. We have individuals that are referred from the VA that we work with. We have private pay, you know, so there's options there, you know? So if you want information, come by, get an intake packet.
How long would an intake packet generally take someone to sit down, kind of go through and look at?
Well, we just revamped it, you know? I had to cut back. You come at it from an admin perspective. Next thing you know, you've got 100 pages. You had to really dwindle that down.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, but
what's that the kids say nowadays? Too long, didn't read.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to make it arduous, but we do want it to be professional and make sure that it's informative and clear on the function of the program. What do you think now with the new one?
You know, 10, 15 minutes is all it would take. We really, after Nick and I kind of revamped the older packet that we had, I would say we want to know more about just individual who they are, like really get to know them. There's always this extra paperwork. Yes, we want to know, you know, medical maybe background, but it's not for any other reasons, but just to be able to provide the services that are the best that we could do. Yeah. But it's mostly beside the paperwork that it's like financial obligations and all of that stuff and TB testing and medication that they might be
Anything that could impact them during the day.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really who they are.
But it's really getting to know
individuals.
Them. Yeah. Good point.
And that way, you know, it's kind of Daybreak is suited for them. Mm-hmm. You know, the activity, absolutely. As you said at the beginning, what do you want to do?
Yeah, we tailor this to them. I mean, this is about this is about their day and their function and what they enjoy. You know, we adapt to them and meet them where they're at, not the other way around. Yes. You know,
if someone wants to learn more, what do they need to do?
Well, I would say, you can come down, or you can just give us a call.
Yeah,
it's real simple. Just call the hub. Say, hey, I'm interested in Daybreak. They can swing it my direction or on his direction. And we'll be able to give them information and talk about what it looks like. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think a good tour.
We do tours and we often do. Now we've started doing a day where they just come in and experience a trial day.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. You know, and look, that's not going to necessarily make or break something, right? You know, but we want them to have an opportunity to see what a day looks like and how it functions and make sure it's something that they feel is a good fit for them.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both so much for taking time out of that busy day and coming down and visiting me this morning. It was an absolute pleasure meeting you both.
Well, we appreciate it so much. Any opportunity we can to speak to the programs that the Hub offers is greatly appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Powder River Basin Resource Council. Stay with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Sheridan Wild Rodeo, one of the biggest events in Sheridan.
Time for family, friends, and visitors from all over the world to come home.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend a big welcome home to everyone.
First Federal is a trusted local bank committed to our community, sponsoring the nightly Indian Relay races and helping bring you live coverage of the Friday morning live stream and broadcast on SheridanMedia.com. So welcome home from the First Federal Bank and Trust family, a true community bank member FDIC.
The Sheridan Wild Rodeo is back in full swing, and for many of us,
this isn't our first rodeo. Law enforcement is saddling up for another Wild Rodeo and ready to ride our local streets to enforce impaired driving laws.
Whether you're attending the street dances, rodeo, polo matches, or parade,
make wise choices, drink responsibly, establish a designated driver,
or arrange for a ride to and from activities.
As we all get back on the Wild Rodeo horse,
make sure the ride is on your terms
and not ours.
Heard the news, conservative Frank Chapman's running for Congress. Frank's joining President Trump's fight to make America great again. So giddy up, Wyoming.
Frank rides a range at the break of dawn, loves this land, knows right from wrong. A rancher's grit in a father's heart, he fights for us, and that's just the start. Frank Chapman's our man for Wyoming, seal the border, hold the line. American energy, American beef, constitutional rights. Yours and mine. Conservative for Congress. That's the plan. Frank Chapman, Wyoming's man.
Protecting property rights, Second Amendment, defending our freedom. That's Frank Chapman.
Make America great. A fighter for us, Wyoming's Frank Chapman. Conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Mandy Koltiska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. If you have a little patience and a lot of love to give, 4-year-old Roxy is ready to meet you. She enjoys spending her day with her best canine friends and sharing her toys. 1-year-old Selena has a huge personality in a tiny little body. Her meow makes her so unique and lovable. If you're unique and lovable too, come and meet this sweet kitty today.
The Sheridan Wild Rodeo Guide is in the center section of this week's Country Bounty. Pull out those 4 pages and let it be your guide to all of the Wild Rodeo activities. You'll find a schedule of events, places to eat during the week, a list of great sponsors for the SheridanMedia.com live stream. Check it out, center section, this week's Country Bounty, so you can be ready for another fun-filled Sheridan Wild Rodeo event. And special thanks to Sheridan Travel and Tourism and the Sheridan Wild Rodeo Board.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. First thing apart this morning, we are joined by the Powder River Basin Resource Council Assistant Director, Catherine Schrock, and author and speaker, Kate Glatton. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. What a way to start off after 4th of July.
Oh, right. Yeah, just kicking it right in.
Yeah. And to welcome in Rodeo Week.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
It's the
yes.
big week.
Yes,
and I'm
it
here
is.
To tell you, it's all hands on deck for Rodeo yes. Week around here. I imagine it probably is just about everywhere.
Everywhere in town, yes.
Everyone's really busy around
That's
this
right.
time. But I really do appreciate both of you coming in this morning. Very important stuff that we're going to be talking about. Catherine, this is your first time on the show, and I want to welcome you on.
Thank you.
Now, just for folks who may not know, what is the Powder River Basin Resource Council?
All right. Thank you for asking. The Powder River Basin Resource Council is a nonprofit that is entering its 53rd year in serving the Sheridan area and all through the state of Wyoming. The Powder River Basin Resource Council started when strip mining went into the Powder River Basin, and there weren't any regulations. There was Zippo. And so there were ranchers and farmers whose land and water and animals were being affected by the strip mining. And so they got together in barns and thought, how can we fight back and protect what we have here? And that was the beginning of Powder River Basin Resource Council. And through the years, the mission has been to help educate people whose land is being affected by minerals extraction. And if it's not being followed with respect by the companies, then we are able to educate them and give them a voice.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's really, it's advocacy.
Yes. Advocacy, community organizing. Mm-hmm. Community organizing is what our employees are called.
What got you involved with it?
Sorry?
What got you involved with it?
Ooh, what got me involved? Well, I could say Bernie Barlow. when we first moved to town, she's very proud of the organization, and she is a good friend and neighbor, and she just talked a lot about it, and then a position opened up, and so I've joined the organization since then. Yeah.
And what a great organization to be a part of, because, I mean, you really have, you know, a fantastic drive to get behind it. I think just about everybody out there can realize, hey, everyone needs a voice.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is exactly the reason why we segueing into the next conversation when we applied for the ARP walk audit grant.
Yeah.
It was to allow people to have a voice in how our streets and our intersections are managed and are walkable for the community of Sheridan.
And that'll bring us over here back to Kate, who I've had on the show before. A tough situation brought you here. We talked about the walk last time you were on. You said that went really well.
Yeah.
What was the purpose behind the walk?
Yeah, so it was kind of the grand finale, I guess, of the whole campaign of May, which was Eyes Up, Lives Ahead. So the purpose for me really was to bring together all members of the community to walk safely on our streets. I think we have the riders, residents and visitors to feel safe and be responsible pedestrians as we walked in the best downtown in America, if you ask me. We walked all the way through it, and we had shirts made with Eyes Up, Lives Ahead to kind of show the cause that we were walking for and to also remind drivers literally of that. I'm continuing to see that distracted driving is by far the biggest concern on the road these days. I am honored to be working along this walk audit and to see what we can do on our streets practically to make them safer for both drivers and pedestrians. But at the end of the day, if a driver's distracted, you could have the safest crosswalk. And so that's kind of my really big push was for that. And I had like over 100 people come along, and it was so touching because the weather was a little hit and miss and I wasn't sure if we're going to get rained on, but everyone was showing up. We had the mayor and so many different members of the community, and it touched my heart so much because it was such a rough 48 hours with the anniversary and the sentencing and honestly, I wasn't sure if I was going to get out of bed, but I thought my community's going to show up for me and I want to show up for my community. And it blew me away. And we had a lot of people that were in town like, well, what's this about? We kind of could share the message and get talking, and had friends handing out stickers left, right, and center. Kind of had the best PR team on board. But yeah, it was incredible. And yeah, we finished that walk right across from Fifth Street across Main there, doing what mum should have been able to do that day. And that's to be able to get safely to the other side.
I want to thank you for your strength. And I know you say, you know, hey, thanks for the community for their strength. But I'm here to tell you, it's cyclical. They feed off of yours and you feed off of them, and it's great to see. Let's talk about this walk audit. The AARP grant that you applied for, what is it specifically paying for?
What it's paying for is pulling together people to create community that want to identify what intersections that we have identified that could be safer intersections or safer parts of our streets all throughout Sheridan. And it's that's what it's paying for. Mm. It's a very small grant. It's called a micro capacity grant. But the idea behind it is that, hey, we're becoming more and more aware of where we can make improvements in Sheridan in terms of becoming more of a livable community, which is kind of somewhat of an ARP label that I believe Sheridan is trying to reach up to. Hello, Stella.
She's amazing, isn't she? Right. Both of them, they're just great.
Yes, yes, actually. And so with that, and then our second goal is to allow those people in that community to have a voice. And what I have found interesting when I started bringing up this conversation with groups of friends, everybody got heated about certain intersections within the community. And it wasn't specifically the really busy one, Fifth and Main, but up near the Buffalo Range, there's hardly a stop sign. You're constant. And then there's places in town that don't have sidewalks. And so where do we walk? And another thing that has been occurring, as we've all have seen that have lived here in Sheridan for a number of years, is the traffic has increased.
Yeah.
Our roads weren't made for all the traffic that we have, and neither have been the signs that have been put up or the way we follow the traffic rules. And that just has blown in capacity to what our structure is. So really, a micro capacity grant is to be the beginning of moving into larger communication. And so we'll have our grant. We'll work on it for 6 to 9 months. We'll be done. But through the ARP, there are a couple different challenge grant opportunities. The next one up would be a demonstration grant. And the top one is a flagship grant where you receive a lot of money in order to actually make those improvements.
Wow.
Yeah.
And with the cost of everything nowadays, I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's going to be one of the first things that somebody kind of throws up as a barrier. Well, the cost of all
right.
Of
exactly. The cost and or the rules within certain state guidelines when it comes to the Department of Transportation. And I do want to throw out a quote that both Kate and I heard the other day. As ARP Walk audit recipients, we are working with a group called Walk America. And this Walk America reports that state highways that run through downtown America are ranked as the highest amount of pedestrian fatalities.
Wow.
Yeah. So exactly what happened right here in Sheridan last summer. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when is this walk and what should someone keep in mind if they want to take part?
Right. We have targeted September after tourist season. Because if we were to be taking a walk audit now during rodeo week,
be a little difficult, right?
Yes, it would.
Well, it's also, like you said, like schools are back in and everything like that. So it's kind of a more normal day of Sheridan life at that point, as opposed to, yeah, when all the events are happening and everything like that.
Yeah.
So September is going to be the month. Do we have a date as of yet?
No, but the beginning of September.
Okay.
Yes, after that first snowstorm.
Right? Yeah. We all know it. But at the same time, a walk audit isn't just like a stroll. You're actually going to be looking for something.
Right. We have a whole toolkit. And we will be wearing our red ARP t-shirts along with little flashes. But and every person in the audit will have a different job to do, something different that they're looking for. And who can participate? We have community members, and we are hoping for community members that need assistance with walking.
Yeah.
Whether that's cane, walker, wheelchair. We public officials are really important in the picture of going through a walk audit. Yes.
So you'd like to see some maybe city council members show up. Maybe department heads who would actually be the ones doing these improvements, things like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Now, So do we have a meeting place or?
We do.
Okay.
We do. We meet at the Powder River Basin Resource Council office, which is 934 North Main Street. We have this great big sign in our front yard with an antelope on top.
It's very specific.
It's the only antelope along Main Street.
Yes.
Now, outside of the officials and maybe some people who need some ADA mm-hmm. type of, I guess you could say, assistance getting around.
Right.
Because there are streets that I can think of where they're not ADA compliant, where you're like, man, you know, if I was in a wheelchair, how would I get up on that? Or if I was in a walker, how would I get across the street in time? Kate, when we think about an audit walking up and down, because I know this is probably something that you've done, really looking, what am I looking for? What could have been different? What should people really be looking for? And maybe they can even be looking for it now before we get to September. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for when you walk?
Gosh, that's such a great question. And I know specifically for our walk audit, mm-hmm. is it mainly just the 5th and Main intersection? Is that?
We will start there.
Okay, we'll start there. Mm-hmm. All right. So we've got more. But I think if you really pay attention, it's everything from, and I learned from the Walk America, mm-hmm. like that webinar they did last week, even like you mentioned, like how the crosswalk and the curb come down, and there are cracks and things like just where people could trip and fall, like from right through to, you know, I'm really interested also in the timing of the lights and how long pedestrians are given to get across the road. Because I know, for example, like my mom wasn't used to the countdown and she'd always feel stressed about like, oh gosh, if the countdown stops and I'm in the middle of the road, does that mean everyone's going to suddenly start coming at me? And so are we giving pedestrians enough time to, crossing the road? So just noticing like the walk signals. And for me, I mean, I'm watching people come up over crossway there, like the crosswalk, when because they're so worried about, oh, I can turn on red. So I've seen so many times downtown, if you just see they're not even, I'll have a walk signal and they're just coming up over that crosswalk because they're more concerned of, well, I can turn on red. So there's even been some discussions around like, are we changing up that a little? So on those high pedestrian crossings where, you know, maybe saying like, hey, no right on red here. You can wait the extra 30 seconds to let pedestrians get across safely. Because I understand otherwise you can just be on autopilot of, as long as there's no traffic coming, I can just cross over that crosswalk. And I know myself, I've nearly been hit. It's only because I don't trust any driver these days I'm not. And I do know pedestrians do have to look around and be aware. But they're kind of the things that I'm looking at. And if I'm doing the audit, I don't know what role I've got yet, but I would be particularly interested in the timing of the lights and how drivers are, what they're doing with those crosswalks that they're legally actually meant to stop at first before you go around the corner.
And Kate, I'm very glad you brought that up because I've dealt with the same thing. You know, and I believe, according to Wyoming state statute, you have to wait for the pedestrians before you turn right on red. You've got to let those people cross the road. And I've gone to walk and had somebody turn right on red directly in front of me and then look at me like I'm at fault, which, you know, what the heck, guys? You know, no one's time is more important than someone's life or safety.
Right.
And I think every once in a while we get so caught up in our daily routines, so caught up in I gotta be here, or as Kate said, so caught up on the phone, mm-hmm. so caught up on the discussion, we're just not thinking. We're on autopilot. Mm-hmm. and you're turning right on red and you think you're following along, and then all of a sudden somebody pops out and it's too late.
Right.
And this is what we're trying to prevent. Sometime in the beginning of September, meeting at the council building. You want to be a part of this. This is something that I think is really special because I don't think it happens a lot. I don't think people walk through their city and really look for what can we improve sidewalk-wise, ADA-wise, timing-wise. I mean, who really thinks of that until something happens that motivates a movement like this?
Exactly.
We need to be proactive.
Right. And something I'd like to include, Floyd, is that the city of Sheridan has received a grant called Safe Streets for All. And on the city website, there is a map where residents can open up this app on the and mark different locations within the city that they're really concerned about.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be a great tool. And I think it's really important that the citizens of Sheridan know about this. And that will really help out in terms of, just like what you said, mm-hmm. how many of us really look at it and it's time. And that also includes the education, educating our bikers, educating our walkers, educating our drivers. And just the eyes up, lives ahead is just scratching the surface on education.
Right.
Yeah. And so, right, small grant, but we really hope it makes a lot of big noise within Sheridan to really make some changes.
And I hope it does too.
Yeah,
Catherine, Kate, thank you both so much for taking time out of your day to come in and speak with me on this.
Yeah.
And I'll get that information up online for folks.
Okay.
They can
Super.
Go and educate themselves on the grant itself. They can find that tool with the city and people can start getting involved.
Excellent.
Right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Floyd.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Right now, qualified homebuyers may receive a mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Yes, through the Mortgage Rate Relief Program.
It's designed to make buying your primary residence easier and more affordable.
We'll personally help you check eligibility and guide you through the process.
Call First Federal Bank and Trust for all the details or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, because your home should be within reach. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Signed by Signs and UTVs are everywhere in Wyoming, but a lot of people don't realize where the coverage gaps are. Your auto policy won't cover it. Your homeowner's policy, very limited, especially off your property. So if someone gets hurt or you end up on a public road, you could be looking at a claim with no coverage or even a ticket. Iron Valley Insurance Group helps make sure your UTV is actually protected. Visit Jessica Weaver, certified insurance counselor in Sheridan, and have that conversation before summer gets busy. Iron Valley Insurance Group, forged in strength, guided by compassion. Request a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
Legacy Diamond and Gems invite you to see their special display, Great American Gems, showing gemstones mined right here across the United States, featuring Montana Yogo sapphires, rare Utah red beryl, and a variety of beautiful gemstones from Arizona, California, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Oregon, and of course, Wyoming. Great American Gems, see them now at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
When someone you love starts needing help, everything changes. Suddenly you're worrying about rides to appointments, meals, chores, and making sure they're okay when you're not there. That's what Synergy Home Care is all about. Real support, real connection, real dignity. From senior in-home care, companionship to memory care, and hospital to home support, and specialized home care, it's care that works around your family. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com or call 674-HOME. That's 674-HOME. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.